Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I remember when I was in school studying the Gospel of John, the teacher said that when we study from chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, he said he always felt like he went into the Holy of Holies. Well, I feel that way when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love bondeth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Since tomorrow is commonly recognized as Valentine's Day, perhaps this is a good time for us to study the Great Love chapter of the Bible. There are certain sections of Scripture that I like to deal with on a regular basis because I believe they're just that important. Well, this is one of those sections of Scripture. Well, it was interesting. The other day I was listening to the radio and a song came on that was popular back in the 60s. And part of the song went like this. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. The DJ said, that song never goes out of style. It's just as appropriate for today as it was back in the 60s. I remember the turmoil of the 60s, and it's unfortunate, but we have a lot of turmoil in our world even today. Think about the situation that existed in the church in Corinth. Suffice it to say, there was a lot of turmoil. The congregation was divided over its favorite leaders. Some were eating meat that had been offered to idols and causing weaker brethren to stumble. They were settling their differences by going before the courts of the land. All types of division existed. And when you look at the book of 1 Corinthians as a whole and are mindful of the situation that existed in that church, you can't help but see that there was a tremendous lack of love. But the writer, the Apostle Paul, dealt with this very important subject in the context of the use of spiritual gifts. First thing we need to do when studying this chapter is look at it in its context. When you study 1 Corinthians, keep in mind that in chapters 12, 13, and 14, the Apostle Paul was dealing with the use of spiritual gifts. Now, in his letter, he dealt with some issues that he had been asked to confront. Other issues were reported to him, and he dealt with all of them. And suffice it to say, Paul loved the church in Corinth. He had established it, and he had been there for quite an extended period of time teaching folks. But now he had to deal with some matters that showed that there was some turmoil in that congregation. But keep in mind that when writing chapter 13, Paul was dealing with the use of spiritual gifts in the Corinthian church. The nine gifts are listed for us in chapter 12. Look at chapter 12. Let's start at verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Those were the nine spiritual gifts that existed in the Corinthian church. Keep in mind that from other passage, we are informed that these gifts were given by the apostles when they laid their hands on people who had become Christians. Read about that in Acts chapter 8 as well as Acts chapter 19. Peter and John laid hands on some folks in Samaria and gave them the ability to exercise gifts. And then in Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul laid his hands on some folks in the city of Ephesus and gave them the ability to exercise spiritual gifts. So we understand how the gifts were given. The apostles laid their hands on people who had become Christians. Now those gifts were designed to help in spreading the gospel. Sometimes I think about the situation that confronted the apostles on the day of Pentecost. They were all from Galilee. The people recognized that. But there were people in Jerusalem from all over the world. They're all listed, the various areas where they were from. How would the apostles be able to communicate with people from different areas speaking a variety of languages and dialects? The Lord took care of them. Now, the apostles were baptized in the Spirit. They were able to communicate with people in various languages that they didn't know. Well, it would be important in spreading the gospel for the early Christians to be able to speak to people in various languages that they did not know. So the gifts were designed to help in spreading the gospel. They were also designed to help in edifying or building up the church. So we need to keep that in mind when it comes to a study of spiritual gifts. They were given for the purpose of helping to spread the gospel as well as to edify or build up the church. It's unfortunate, but the Christians in Corinth were using their gifts in an unloving way. Look at chapter 12 for just a moment. And Paul illustrated the problem by referring to various parts of the body. Chapter 12, let's start at verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now, imagine various parts of the body claiming to be superior to other parts of the body. All the parts of the body serve a useful function. But together, there's the body. If you take away the eye, there's no seeing. If you take away the ear, there's no hearing. You see, all of the body parts work together to make up the body. Now, Paul is illustrating the problem in the Corinthian church. Some were exalting their gifts and looking down on others who possessed what they considered to be the lesser gifts. Now, we've already read the nine gifts, and they were all given for the purpose of helping the church spread the gospel and that the church might be edified. But the Corinthian church was using the gifts given to it in an unloving way. And that's illustrated by Paul referring to the various parts of the body. When the gifts were used in that way, it was not the Lord's will. Go down to verse 22 of chapter 12. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, if you study all three chapters very carefully, chapters 12, 13, and 14, it would certainly appear that those who had the ability to speak in tongues considered their gifts to be better than perhaps the others. That turned to a spirit of superiority. Those who possessed the lesser gifts in their eyes became jealous of those who had the ability to speak in tongues. So while the Lord gave the spiritual gift to the early church to help in building up the church and in spreading the gospel, they were not being used in the right way. They were not being used in a loving way. Consequently, there was a lot of division. Now, can you just imagine people possessing the nine gifts and then some over here having one gift that they consider to be better than the others? They would develop a spirit of superiority. Others would feel inferior. They would become jealous. And can you imagine the turmoil that existed in that congregation? I've often thought what it would have been like to preach a sermon to that church. That would have been interesting. Not very many times, but over the years, on a few occasions, I've had the opportunity to speak from God's word in a situation that was not the best. It can be a challenge. But I can just imagine some of the looks going from one group toward another and vice versa, and people trying to concentrate on a message from God's word with all those bad feelings going on. Well, that would have been an interesting situation, and Paul knew it was wrong, and he dealt with it in this letter. I have to admit, there have been many times when I've studied the scriptures and I read about various problems, I think, how could those people get caught up in such things? But if the church in Corinth had not been divided over its use of spiritual gifts, we wouldn't have chapter 13. Many times when the Lord faced difficult situations, he would turn those situations into opportunities to present his word. The parable of the Good Samaritan. We'd be lost if we didn't have that great parable. Jesus presented it because a lawyer wanted to know who his neighbor was. Well, I guess there's another way of thinking about the situation that existed in Corinth. It was bad that it existed, but it did provide an opportunity for the Apostle Paul to include the great love chapter of the Bible. Notice how chapter 12 ends in verse 31. Paul said in verse 31 that he would show the Christians in Corinth a more excellent way of using their spiritual gifts. He dealt with the situation that existed in chapter 12. He revealed what the nine gifts were. He dealt with the problem to some extent about the incorrect way they were using their gifts. And as chapter 12 comes to a conclusion, he says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. The more excellent way is revealed in chapter 13. And the more excellent way involves using spiritual gifts with love. Now, the way they were using their gifts, there was a great lack of love. But the more excellent way of using their spiritual gifts would be to use them with love. Well, spiritual gifts, that is, miraculous spiritual gifts, no longer exist. Chapter 13 even said that they would come to an end, and they did. However, we still need to study this chapter very carefully, and we need to apply the instructions that are given to us relating to love, because there's an important admonition given to us in chapter 16 and verse 14. Chapter 16 and verse 14 says, "Let all your things be done with love." Now, since love is to accompany everything that we do, we need to profit from a careful study of 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter of the Bible. Well, with this information before us, let's turn our attention to chapter 13 that actually gives three reasons why the more excellent way includes love. Now, we dealt with the situation in the church in Corinth. The members were not using their spiritual gifts properly. And Paul said in chapter 12, as it concluded, that in chapter 13, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. There are three reasons given in this chapter why the more excellent way includes love. The first reason is presented to us in verses 1, 2, and 3. And the point is, the more excellent way includes love because without it, we are nothing. Notice how that point is emphasized. In verse 1, that very principle is applied to speaking in tongues. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Suppose a person had the ability to speak in all types of languages that he didn't know. If he didn't have love in his heart, would it profit him any? Well, he'd be no more than a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, just a noise. That principle is applied to other spiritual gifts in verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Now, that principle not only applies to speaking in tongues, that principle applies to all spiritual gifts. The exercise of spiritual gifts without love doesn't profit anyone at all. But we learn from verse 3 that that very principle goes beyond spiritual gifts. Notice that acts of benevolence and acts of sacrifice are mentioned. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Thinking about giving all of one's goods to feed the poor, that'd be a great act of benevolence, wouldn't it? But if it wasn't done with love, would there be any profit in it? None at all. Suppose a person even made an act of sacrifice by giving his body to be burned. If he didn't have any love in his heart, would it profit him any? Not at all. So in the first three verses, remember Paul is talking about the more excellent way of using spiritual gifts, that is to use them with love. We find that the more excellent way includes love because without it, we are nothing. Well, how would the Corinthians know if they were using their gifts with love? They'd have to do some self-examination, and they would have to do so on the basis of knowing how love behaves. And that brings us to the next point. There's a second reason given to us in verses 4 through 7 concerning why the more excellent way includes love. The more excellent way includes love because of the way that it behaves. Many years ago, I took the time to list out these characteristics. I found that there were 15 of them. And you can divide them into 8 negative matters and 7 positive. That's my background in math, I guess. I just had to sit down and do that. 15 characteristics, 8 negative, 7 positive. Let's list out the 8 negative ones first. Now remember, Paul is showing us that the more excellent way includes love because of how it behaves. The Christians in Corinth have already learned from verses 1, 2, and 3 that if they did not use their gifts with love, there was no profit in that at all. How would they know if they were using their gifts with love? By doing some self-examination and knowing how love behaves. Well, let's look at the negative matters. Love does not envy. It's not jealous. Love does not vaunt itself. It does not brag or boast. Love is not puffed up. That is, it's not arrogant. Does not behave itself unseemly. That means that it doesn't act in a way unbecoming of a child of God. Love does not seek its own, which means that it doesn't have to have its own way. Love is not easily provoked. Love does not think evil. I have to admit to you, that particular matter caused me a little bit of concern a number of years ago, and I thought, I need to do some study to find out exactly what this is. Does not think evil. Does that mean it doesn't think on evil? Or it doesn't think evil thoughts? Well, we need to do some careful study, because what it actually means is love does not take into account a wrong that has been suffered. In other words, love doesn't hold a grudge. That's a very important quality, something to be avoided. Holding a grudge. And love does not rejoice in iniquity or unrighteousness. Well, these are certain ways in which true Christian love does not behave. Well, let's look at the positive matters. Love suffers long. It's patient. Love is kind. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. Now those are the 7 positive characteristics. Now it would be important for the Christians in Corinth to know how love actually is to behave. So these matters are addressed. 8 negative matters, 7 positive. I wonder how the Christians in Corinth felt after this part of the letter was read. It's my understanding that when these letters were sent to people and congregations, that there would be an assembly and the letter would be read. I've often wondered, after those characteristics were given, the looks on the faces of the people in the audience. That would have been interesting. Well, after examining their love on the basis of these characteristics, the Corinthians should have been motivated to make some necessary changes. Well, that brings us to our third reason why the more excellent way includes love, and it's given in verses 8 through 13. The more excellent way includes love because it is everlasting. Love never fails. But notice what is said about spiritual gifts. They would fail, they would cease, and they would vanish away. In other words, spiritual gifts are going to come to an end. We know that the early church had the gifts. We know why they were given. We know how they were given. But chapter 13, in addition to being a great love chapter of the Bible, shows us that spiritual gifts would come to an end. When? Well, these verses teach us that spiritual gifts would fail, cease, and vanish away when that which is perfect came. The word perfect means complete. And this, in my judgment, is referring to the new covenant of Christ, referred to as the perfect law of liberty in James 1 and verse 25. When the Lord's New Testament was completed, there was no longer any need for the spiritual gifts. And I want you to notice that the church with the gifts is referring to being in its infant stage. But then when the gifts were taken away, there's a full-grown or mature stage. I have to admit, though, I think about something just a little bit amusing when I read, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. I can remember when Teresa and I moved to South Texas. Some good folks were helping us unload the moving van. And whenever we've moved, my request is, help us get the boxes inside. We will take care of putting everything up. Well, everybody wants to help, you know, but, you know, that's kind of personal. Things you want to put up, you want to do yourself. So that's the agreement that I've always tried to have. Well, I remember we were unloading some boxes and the lid came off one. And there was my Mr. Potato Head. And a lady looked at me and said, I didn't think that y'all had any kids. I said, we don't. And you should have seen the look on that lady's face. In other words, you're a grown man. What are you doing with a Mr. Potato Head? Well, it's a long story and I won't get into it, but that was kind of interesting. I think about that whenever I read, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. The church with spiritual gifts is referring to a state of childishness in its infancy. But without the spiritual gifts, there's a full-grown state. But let's be sure that we see the point being made. We've already observed that the Corinthians were not using their gifts with love. Now, the gifts would eventually come to an end. If the Corinthians continued using their gifts without love, when those gifts no longer existed, what would remain? You can't help but see it. There would be an abundance of jealousy, pride, arrogance, and so on and so forth. But if the Corinthians repented, and that was the purpose for this letter, was to lead them to repentance. Study 2 Corinthians, you'll see that they did repent. That's the good news. If the Corinthians repented and started using their gifts with love, when the gifts came to an end, what would remain? Love would continue to reign supreme. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. One day faith will become sight, hope will become reality, but love is the greatest because it will continue on and on and on. Let's remember the command that Jesus gave to his followers in John chapter 13. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Well, we know what the Lord commands of us. We need to be grateful that we have the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, to help us more fully understand what the Lord requires of us. Well, Jesus exhibited love in the greatest way by offering himself as a sacrifice, shedding his precious blood so that we might have the forgiveness of sins. And after he was resurrected from the grave, and just before he ascended to heaven, he gave the great commission to his apostles. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And if you'd like to respond to the invitation, we'd invite you to do so as we stand and sing the song that's been selected. Let's sing the first verse, please.